Have you noticed that for the past 3 weeks, the gospel readings at Mass have been unusually long? Have you noticed that? They are the longest gospel readings that are found anywhere in our entire three-week cycle. For an ordinary Sunday, that is. Palm Sunday is always longer. And maybe as you hear those gospels read and you're standing there, you ask yourself, you know, why is this gospel so long? Would it surprise you to know that these gospels that we only read once every 3 years here in Lent, they're all deliberately long. They're long on purpose. And the reason isn't because some cruel bishop out there wants to make your Lenten season even more difficult or to learn just how long you can stand without taking a break. The reason why they're so long is because each one of these gospels tells a foundational spiritual lesson, and the church wants it to sink in. 2 weeks ago, story of the woman at the well, with the message that there is a thirst in your soul that you will never quench with this world. And you will live and die with that thirst unless you come to know what it means to know Christ deeply. Foundational message. Last week, story of the man born blind, with the message that you are born unable to see things the way God sees them. Now, reality is however God perceives a thing to be. If God sees it as important, it is important. And if God sees it as trivial, it is trivial. And our lives are so upside down because we can't see the things that really matter. We are born blind. But Christ will give you God's vision if you'll let him. Foundational spiritual message. And then that brings us to today's reading, story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, with a message that Jesus is more than your personal fulfillment and Jesus is more than your spiritual insight. Jesus is literally eternal life. And it takes a while for that to sink in. And that's why this is the longest of the three. Now, the older you get, the more clearly you see that the blessings of this world are only valuable if they last. If they don't last, they're not that important. Little kid has an ice cream cone, drops the ice cream cone on the floor. To the kid, it's, you know, the apocalyptic catastrophe. And a parent smiles because they know, you know, it's just an ice cream cone, it doesn't last. But that's true for all these things we have in life. For example, people value so highly their physical appearance and they try to make it last as long and as long as they can. Remember one man telling me, he says, you know, no matter how hard you try, gravity always wins, right? But physical appearance is a diminishing asset. It's good, but you know, it's not that valuable. And the older you get, the more you learn that. Parents try to tell their children that family is more important than friends. Why? Because friends come and go all your life long. Family's always there. You're wise if you invest your time in those relationships. The blessings of this world that you have to surrender in death only have limited value. You know, things like your accomplishments, your titles, your honors, your bank account, can't take it with you. As they say, never saw a hearse pull in a U-Haul. But after surrender it in death, it has limited value. And so we have to ask ourselves, what lasts? What really matters? Two things last. Truth and love last. Those are things that survive the grave. Your love, your relationships, especially this relationship with God and relationships you have in which there's genuine love for another people. That lasts. To see that and to dive into that is the spiritual life. Now, to help you with that, I want to share a little thought with you here today. And the thought comes from St. Augustine. Now, St. Augustine noticed that in the Bible, there's three times in which Jesus raises somebody from the dead. And I'm tempted to ask for a show of hands to see who knows that, right? But just in case you've forgotten, I'll jog your memory. Three times. The first one is the daughter of Jairus, 12-year-old girl, dies inside a home. The second one is the son of the poor widow of Nain. Jesus raises him in funeral procession out in the middle of the field. And the third one is the one you just heard, Lazarus raised out of a stone-cold tomb. Now, St. Augustine says, notice this. Notice where they happen. One's indoors, one's outdoors, one's in a stone-cold tomb. Those facts matter because there's a spiritual lesson in each one of those. Let me run through them with you real quick, okay? First time Jesus ever raises anybody from the dead, it's the daughter of Jairus, the synagogue official. 12-year-old girl dies inside the home, surrounded by four walls. Jesus walks into the home, takes the girl by the hand, and says to her, "Talitha kum, little girl, I say to you, arise." And the little girl comes back to life. And Augustine says, take note of this. It happened indoors. Now, the wages of sin is death. Sin is spiritual death. And there's a sin that we commit in the privacy of our own thoughts. In other words, behind closed walls where nobody can see it. And God needs to raise you from the dead in that area. And it's the sins of our thoughts. Sins of anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, dark desires, impure thoughts. You never acted on them, right? But they're inside your mind, and you know they're not worthy of God. You got to let Jesus in. You must be healed in that area, or you're not ready for heaven. It's a great line in the Psalms. It says, "Lord, may my thoughts be pleasing to you." Confess your private thoughts. Let Jesus bring you back to life. Second time Jesus raises somebody from the dead, it's the son of the poor widow of Nain. And maybe you know the story, but there's a funeral procession. Jesus out in the field, and he sees this poor widow, and it's the funeral of her only son. And if you know anything about widows in the Bible, you know a widow had no property rights. She couldn't own property. She couldn't own land. She couldn't receive an inheritance. And in those days, you know, there's no social security. There's no vet benefits, nothing of the sort. So if you're a widow in the time of Jesus, your only hope is in your son. It's the only thing that's putting food on the table and a roof over your head to keep out the rain. So Jesus sees this poor widow at the funeral of her only son, and the Gospels say he's wrenched in his innards. The Greek word is esplanknispe. He was wrenched to the level of his guts, and he touches the coffin, and the man comes back to life. And Augustine says, take note of this. This time it's outside. And this stands for all the sins you commit in wide open air that anybody can see. We're no longer keeping our thoughts privately to ourselves. Now we're acting on them. You don't need me to tell you. It's spiritual death. Every time you commit a sin, you know what you do? You pay for it with your soul. It's not free. There's always a consequence. And you have to be healed of that. Like the Psalms say, though your sins be like scarlet, the Lord will make them white as wool. Confess them. Turn them over to the Lord. Let him give you back your life. And that brings us to today's gospel, story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And Augustine says, now take note of this. This one happens inside a stone-cold tomb. And the idea here is this is permanent. If you know anything about tombs in the days of the Bible, you know that they were sealed with a stone. And that stone was 6 feet in diameter. That stone was estimated to be 2 tons in weight. And what they do is they'd carve a niche out of the ground, roll the stone into that niche, such that when that stone was in place, it wasn't going anywhere. To take a stone away from a tomb was the work of about 10 men who needed ropes and pulleys and levers and crowbars to lodge that stone. It's another way of saying this is permanent, right? And there's sins in your life you've committed for so long, you've almost become at peace with them. You've almost become to think this is just part of who I am. You think to yourself, it's permanent. It's as permanent as death. But it's not. That's just the point. Jesus can bring you back. And not only that, but if you have a sin in your life that's so permanent that it's an entrenched habit, you want to know something? It stinks. And there's one thing about a stink. It doesn't just affect you. Everybody around you can smell it as well, can't they? So they bring Lazarus out of the tomb. Martha's like, Lord, there's going to be a stench. And the thing about your sins that are entrenched into habit is that they are hurting everybody else around you. They stink. And you say, it's a part of me. I can't change it. I've always been this way. Yes, you can. That's the whole point. It might take perseverance. It might take many trips to the confessional. But there is nothing that is beyond our Lord's redemption. Confess it. Let it go. And let our Lord heal you. The name Lazarus means God helps. The name Bethany means house of affliction. That's all of us. This world is the house of affliction. It's not easy. And we all need help. Jesus will set you free from what is keeping you from him at the level of your private thoughts and the level of your open actions. And even in those things that you think are hard habit and beyond redemption, because Jesus always wins. It doesn't matter how deep the pit of darkness and evil, God's goodness is deeper still. Do you believe that? Question that Jesus asks to Martha, he asks to you. Do you believe that? Then if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.